Yes to your way, yes to your will, yes to trusting you, yes to obeying you. Yes, Lord, my soul says yes, Lord. Well, good evening to you, you, and yes, even you. You are tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you on this wonderful Monday evening. Hopefully and prayerfully that your week has started well. Amen. Hopefully you was able to go to church and have a wonderful time on Sunday with your members from your local church. And if you didn't, hopefully you was able to join in on one of the two programs here on the Six Eyes Motivate on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. And hopefully you was able to either join us in the gospel show or on Ken show, the cover to cover with the Bible. Amen. Hopefully you had an opportunity to join in and just fellowship with people of like faith. Amen. And once again, you're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. Who am I? Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. I have a song that I prepared. I wanted to play it yesterday. We didn't get a chance to play it. It is called My Response. And as you listen to it, I may at times just speak out some of the words, some of the lyrics to the word, but my response, sometimes the response that we give to God, you know, the opening show opens up with saying, my soul says yes, yes to your way, yes to your will, yes to trusting you, yes to obeying you, yes, Lord, and that's what you hear me say every week, and I'm sincere in that. Our answer is to be yes to the Lord. Amen. No matter what we're doing, how we're doing, our answer should always be to God, yes, because he knows what's best for us. He knows what we need. He knows how we need it. And so the best way to have any type of true relationship with God is knowing how to respond to him with a true yes. Amen. We're heading to Resurrection Sunday. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Messianic Priest King, what that is, what do that mean. But at this moment, I'd just like to have you to listen to this song. Phil Thompson is the singer here, and it's called My Praise. Thank you. You have rescued my life. And I'm never going back. And God saved us. He saved us mostly from the trail. You have rescued my life. And I'm never. God delivered you from drugs, from cussing, from bad relationships, from lying, from cheating. My response is, hallelujah. You're my redeemer, Lord. Hallelujah. You're my redeemer. You have rescued my life. You have rescued my life. And I'm never going back. Hallelujah. You have rescued my life. And I'm never going back. Hallelujah. My response is, hallelujah. You are my redeemer. You have rescued my life. You have rescued my life. And I'm never going back. Right where you are, make that positive confession that God has rescued your life. And you're never going back. You're never going back. No matter what happens, no matter what comes up in your life, you realize that Christ has rescued your life. And you're never, never going back. When Scripture talks about be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage, it was talking about legalism. But the wages of sin is death. And when Christ gives us life, he has rescued us. But we're not going back to the laws of sin and death. You have rescued my life. And I'm never going back. My response to God. Hallelujah. That's the highest praise. You are my redeemer. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope today that your response to Christ is hallelujah. And your statement of faith is you're never going back. You realize the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross when he shed his precious blood and gave up his life so that we may have life. He is our Redeemer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And so hopefully you was able to hear that song well. Amen. Once again, you can download it yourself on whatever music app you use. It's called My Response, amen, by Phil Thompson, amen. There's only two versions of that I've seen, another one with more instruments in it. But I wanted to make sure that you hear the words, and hopefully that came across pretty well for you on this evening. Once again, we're in our teaching on tonight. I'm praying that everyone's mentals are at 100. Amen. Amen. Your two thumbs up, amen. Or you're 10, amen. I know sometimes we're tired and we go through things that may stress us from here and there. Amen. And it's all right for those mental levels to drop a little bit. But don't let them stay dropped now. Pick them back up. Amen. Amen. Get into your word. Let God's word encourage you. Or turn on some your favorite gospel music. Amen. Your Christian music. And allow those songs to minister to your soul. Amen. One of the beautiful things about the Bible app. Amen. It has an audio version to it. Amen. You can just let the word of God just read out in the atmosphere and speak into your spirit. Amen. And let it change your atmosphere, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing. Amen. As we journey together in God, it is important for us to be empowered by the word, so that we may go and empower other people with the word. Amen. It's not us, it's him through us. Amen. This evening, the lesson is called A Messianic Priest King. You know, that's that priest hyphenated king. Amen. What does it mean to be a priest and a king? Well, in the book of Jeremiah, that prophet, he prophesied concerning how Christ was going to come, him amongst others. Zechariah had a word of prophecy. And then we see these things being fulfilled, and John writes to us and shares some events that took place. And so many times when we look at the Old Testament, we look at the Old Testament and we see the foretelling of things and events to come. And many of those things, especially those things concerning Christ, when Christ came, he had to fulfill those particular scriptures. So because they were the proof of who he is, not just was, but who he is. And so when we today read the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, we are able to search the scriptures and to find the truth about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I will be reading for your hearing Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. And then I'm going to turn to Zechariah. And I'm going to be reading from Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 through 14. And then we'll turn to St. John chapter 19, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to try to read through the verses all together and then come back and talk about them. Amen. Amen. And that's what we want to try to do today and to keep those things going. Amen. All right. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, and I'm reading from the Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 through 6. Amen. Verse 5 reads, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Verse 6, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord of Righteousness." In English, we will pronounce that Jehovah Tiskanu. Amen. And that day it was Jehovah Tiskanu. Amen. Jehovah, Y-E-H-O-J-A-H, Tiskanu, which was T-S-I-D-Q-E-N-U, Jehovah Tiskanu, and which is the Lord of Righteousness. A lot of times when you hear these terms about the names of God, you may hear people saying Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Jehovah Shalom, God of Peace, amen, and so many other terms that go along with the word Jehovah, which is the self-existent one. Which describes who God is. He is, as the scripture says, he's the first and the last. So he's the one that existed from the beginning, and he will be the one existing in the end. So he is who he is. Wonderful description that he gave Moses. He said, "I am that I am." And throughout the Israelite journey, God began to show himself as a deliverer, as a way maker, as a warrior, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So once again, that was Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Zechariah chapter 6. Excuse me. One moment, please.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Amen. We must be safe when we're traveling. Amen. It's not just about us. It's about the other lives that are traveling as well. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 6, verse 9, reads as follows, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Hedali and Tobiah and Judai, which are come from Babylon, and come through the same day, and go into the house Josiah, the son of Zebediah. Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the heads of Joshua, the son of Josiah, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall prosper, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and a counselor of peace shall be between them both, and the crown shall be to Helam and to Tobiah and Judah, and him the son of Zebediah, and a memorial in the temple of the Lord. Now we turn to the New Testament to see these prophecies being fulfilled. We read last week talking about how Jesus was coming into the city. And as we read that, we saw how he was to come in. And so when we see the things that happened to Christ as he came in peacefully, not as a warring king, we see now we shift to when he's being persecuted. Okay? And so in St. John chapter 19, verse 1, we read here about this mock trial. And we'll get into the explanations as we go. Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. And they put him, and they put on him a purple robe and said, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, behold, the man. Father God, bless this truth as we journey in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We see the word scourge and fault. That word scourge means to whip. And the word fault means a cause of which one is worthy of punishment or crime or accusation. And so he found no fault, no accusation in him, but yet he still allowed this process to take place. So just as an introduction, looking for the Messiah. One of the things that the children of Israel, even the Samaritans, was looking for was the Messiah. So the Jewish people looked forward to a coming Messiah who would bring their nation back to its former glory. This was supported by the prophecies from the Old Testament dated back to the book of Genesis, even from Genesis. There was a prophecy of Jesus coming. In fact, that prophecy was when God himself was talking to Eve in the garden after they had eaten the forbidden fruit. And as God told her, your seed, talking to the woman, and we know the seed comes from a man, but God explicitly said to the woman, your seed. And so there was a promise concerning the seed came from a woman, not of a man. And that was the very first prophecy that we see in the Bible. Amen. Moving forward. This was supported by the prophecies from the Old Testament dated back to Genesis. Many of these prophecies describe the coming righteous king who will rule justly and fairly. And so in the minds of the people, they were looking for a king, someone to rule over them. One of the earlier struggles in the Israelite movement was they was being led by a priest, they're being led by a prophet, rather, but they kept looking at other nations who had kings, and they wanted a king for themselves. And one of the issues was the prophet was simply for the Lord, giving them instructions from God. But the early Israelites wanted a king. And so they wanted to be like other nations. And here go the problem. And so when they began to tell Samuel, give us a king, he was offended because he had led them righteously. But the Lord told him, don't be offended. They are not rejecting you. They are rejecting me. And so many times, we don't realize that our decisions that are based on the world or what we see in the world is not a rejection of others. It's a rejection. It's a direct rejection of God himself. And so we have to be mindful when we begin to try to pattern ourselves after things that we see. You know, we have to be mindful why we're doing what we're doing. And so we have to consider that. So we see that through the book of Jeremiah and Zechariah. We see this particular prophecies. Two prophecies that describe the coming Messiah as a king who will right the wrong of Israel and restore the nation to its former glory. So that's the expectation of the people. And so, like today, many preachers preach to the itching ear of the people. That's going to bring them back to the church. That's going to keep them coming. And so instead of teaching what the scripture says, teachings began to be more on him coming and restoring them. And somehow or another, their expectation of Christ coming was not one coming on peacefully, but one coming in war. And because they wanted someone that would fight for them in a way that they understood fighting. As I said yesterday in my message, you know, it wasn't, Peter wasn't, he was ready to fight. He was ready to die even. All those things was true. But when Christ stopped him, thank you, just pull it forward. When Christ stopped him from fighting with a sword, it shook his whole world because he thought this is the time. This is when things about to happen. This is when God is going to reign in power and authority. And this was not the time. But yet in their minds of the people, because of the teaching of that day, that's what they was expecting. They was not expecting anything else other than that. And so sometimes our expectation on God and what God actually do it changed how we respond. Because if I'm looking for God to come on the right, and I think that the only way he's going to come is on the right, and he comes from the low left, I'm not going to think that's him. I'm not going to, and I may not even accept it. And it may take some convincing on behalf of others to make me see. And this is what's going on in that time setting. And so during this trial, remember, they took Jesus by night. Days before, they just were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to him. They were laying down palm leaves, putting their clothes in the garment. Hosanna to he that come in the name of the Lord. And they were celebrating Christ. But here, a few days later, now they see the man that they were celebrating. They don't see him as the man they saw him days before. They see him wounded. They see him bloody. They see him in what is by all description a weakened and beaten or defeated state. And like most of us, we only gravitate to winners. We gravitate to power. We gravitate to what seems like it's going to win. You know, whatever sport you're enjoying, you gravitate to your team. And some people, they change teams all the time based on who's winning. There's only a few people who stick with their team all the way through, whether they lose, whether they keep on losing. There's only a few people stick with it. And so here the people are looking at what this mock trial has done. It has displayed Jesus as someone who had offended Caesar, someone who offended the capital, someone that was worthy of death. And because the Roman soldiers, the Roman Empire was in such power, they see these Roman soldiers and they see how they're mocking Jesus. Everyone that followed him that day are now afraid that they too may be part of this crucifixion. So he gets no following, and that's one of the reasons why his captivity had to take place outside of the eyes of the general public, so that these things can unfold the way they did. So the Messiah will come in the line, and again, this is the expectation. So let me back up a few. So they was looking for the Messiah to come, who was going to be that was going to restore Israel to as a nation to its former glory. And remember, the former glory of Israel before they started going in different captivities was people was afraid of them. When they had the Ark of Covenant with them, people were afraid of their God. They were afraid to bother them. Their name was known. But because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion, God allowed them to be punished by their neighboring neighbors. He allowed them to be overtaken. He will rescue them after a period of time because their punishment was so severe. But then they will again begin to start sinning again. And that's why I try to play that song, because my Redeemer, the Lord, you have rescued my life, and I'm never, never going back. And that must be a conscious decision for us not to go back, not to repeat the things of our former lives, not to go back and doing the things that are sinful, that aggravates, that are wrong in the sight of our God. Amen. So the Messiah will come from the line of David, and he would not only be a king, but also a priest. Amen. And that's why Jesus is not only a king, but he's a priest. He intercedes on our behalf to God the Father. Amen. And that's what a priest did for the people. They will be the mediator between God and man. And Christ came to remove that barrier, so we don't have to go through men any longer, men who are full of faults and are flawed in sometimes their thinking and behavior, but we can go directly to Christ, who is God. Because remember, we stand within the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe that these three are one. Amen. It's not our job to understand how that to be. It's to accept him as he is. So being a priest and a king was unprecedented. Amen. Yet that's who God is. So we want you to be able to recognize while you're reading scripture, recognize the fulfillment of prophecies that includes Jesus' passionate experience. So everything that Christ went through, he did all of those things, all the events surrounding Christ's birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. All of these things were foretold in the scriptures in the Old Testament. And so all of these things had to happen the way they did so that scripture will be fulfilled. So there will be no question, no doubt who Christ marking the Messiah. This is what the soldiers did. They were marking the Messiah. So in St. John 19, verses 1 through 3, we see them marking him. This was the representation or the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy in Zechariah 6, verses 9 through 11. So this is what we see. As the Messiah, as the Messianic priest king, Jesus is humble and lowly. These are unusual attributes of a king. In other words, most kings don't come lowly and humble. They come proud and boastful and big and flashy, etc. They demonstrate their authority and their power by the size and grandeur of their entry. But that is not what Jesus did. He did it from a lowly and humble position. These are usually the attributes of, it is also unusual for a king to be scourged. In other words, if you lay hands on a king, that was war. That was a declaration of war. It was time to fight now because his soldiers, his followers would begin to fight. So the traditional Roman scourging consists of being beaten with a whip. This whip had multiple leather tongues. Amen. So that means on the end of the whip had what was considered fingers or tongues or straps that was dangled. Okay. And each one of those will have metal balls and or pieces of sheep bones tied to the end. So whether it was pieces of metal, bone, that was tied to the end of those, so that way whenever they hit you with the whip, it didn't matter of the skill of the person, the mere fact that that type of device would hit or come in contact with your skin, as it hit, it left marks that would dig into the skin. And because it was metal and bone, upon pulling back the whip, it would pull back the skin. Because it would, as it would connect to the skin, it would dig into the skin. because of the design of it. And this is what was taking place with Jesus while he was being scourged. This before he was on the cross. This is what they did to him during that mock trial outside of the eyes of the people. So this, again, so that whip had, again, pieces of metal or sheep bone tied to the ends of it. This type of practice was used to beat the victims as a form of punishment. It was used to extract confessions. In other words, to get them to surrender or tell everything that whatever information you were trying to get out of them. It was also to weaken them before the crucifixion. It was to make sure that while they was on that cross that they didn't have strength no more to press up, because one of the things that the crucifixion did, it caused the lungs to collapse on itself. And if you didn't have strength to press up so that you could breathe, many times you would just, your lungs would just collapse within itself, and you wouldn't be able to breathe, and people died from that type of suffocation. Amen. And that's why, as you read the scripture, you see later on, towards the evening, the two thieves on the side, the left and the right side of Christ, they broke their legs. They broke their legs because they were surviving. And so by breaking their legs, that kept them from pushing up. So it ensured their death to happen quickly. Again, this was a form of torture that the Romans was known for doing in their crucifixion. And so, again, everyone that had been associated with it, this was something that everybody dreaded, you know. And so that type of punishment was feared. And so there was great fear in the crowd, you know. And so as much good as Christ did, these people was looking at, okay, if he was the Son of God, where's the kingdom of God? So, you know, these are questions that they had in their mind. And so they're thinking, well, maybe he wasn't who we thought he was. And because if he was the king, if he was coming to restore Israel, you know, then where's the power? And that was their mentality, because, again, that's how the scribes and the Pharisees was teaching in that day and time. They wasn't teaching the scripture as it is. They were teaching it how they wanted it to appear. So after the scourging, soldiers were expected to taunt the victim. And so as you read the scripture about them hitting Jesus and saying, prophesy to us who hit you, you know, doing those things, it was part of what the soldiers did. They was to be, to humiliate the person being persecuted. And so this is what Christ was going through. So they was expected to do that as soldiers. They put a crown of thorns and a purple robe on him as a mark of a royal garment. So since they had them say he was a king, and they didn't realize they was actually fulfilling prophecy that Zacharias had spoke of. As they did these things, they slapped him in his face to show that he had not, that he was not a king, because, again, you wouldn't snap a king, you wouldn't put your hands on a king, because that meant war. So they slapped him you know, to show that he was not a king and deserved no respect from them. Jesus endured this humiliation in order to be the messianic priest king. Had any time on the cross, he would have decided enough is enough. I'm not going to be humiliated. It would have just took one word from him to stop all of that. But remember the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if it was your will, let this cup pass me by. Nevertheless, not as I will. So at this time, what we see is Jesus himself had a separate will, but he controlled that will because that will was operating in the flesh because he was also in the flesh. And a lot of times, that's our true battle. Each one of us is not what is when we know what must be done, but the choice of doing it. That becomes the issue. Doing what we know we must do. And in this situation, he knew he had to go through persecution. Any of us that had a power and authority facing that same challenge, I don't know if we could have done the same thing. And say, I'm going to go ahead and tell it. I can't, for a man to put their hands on Jesus is like a parent allowing their child, a strong parent, a righteous parent, allowing their child to be them. That don't happen. Not in the world that I came from. You could say the wrong words to my parents, much less put your hands on them. That meant you were going to the hospital or the morgue. And so here it is. That's what Christ endured. In order that prophecy will be fulfilled, that took great love and dedication towards us. And so whenever we think about what he endured, even before the cross, we have to love him even more because the truth of the matter is we wouldn't have done it. Well, I can't speak for you. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have done it. I just speak for myself. I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it. I'd have showed out, made all y'all bow down, kiss the ground. Wasn't me. But thank God, he's God and not me. Amen. Because free will probably have been gone. And that's how much he loved us. So, again, Jesus endured this humiliation in order to be the messianic priest king, the branch who was foretold by Jeremiah and Zacharias, also not in our text today, but also by Isaiah as well. And so the messianic priest king, humble and lowly. And that's what we read in St. John 19, verses 1 through 3. The prophecy came from Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. This is after he found no fault in it. But again, Pilate in this time, Pilate was trying to seek his reappointment He was trying to gain favor with people and Caesar, Tiberius Caesar at the time. So he was trying to maintain his position. So he did release Jesus, even though he found no fault in it. It was his, he had the full right to let him go. But they told him, if you let him go, then you're not a friend to Caesar. So they began to threaten him with their words. And his fear for those things getting back to Caesar made him fearful. He still later on was banished out of the region by Tiberius Caesar. And so he still lost position. All of that. So, but again, St. John 19, verse 1, then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put it a purple robe on him, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. And all of that was to fulfill the prophecy back from Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Amen, which we read already. Amen. But the righteous Messiah, which we read in starting at that verse 4, the righteous Messiah, Jesus' crime was being himself. That was the only crime Jesus had. Even those false witnesses that they brought up in trial, they witnessed did not agree with one another. That's why he never spoke. When Pilate told him, he said, "Don't you realize that I have the power to let you go, or the power to condemn you?" He said, "You have no power at all except for that it was given to you from above." So, and he goes on to tell him, so it's not against you, it's against them that gave me over to you. And so, which was the scribes and Pharisees, which was the priesthood of that day. So the religious leaders of that day, the guilt was on them because they was the one that made all the false accusations. They was the one that wanted to remove him because he didn't follow their traditions, that he, at many times, as he was empowering people, he was speaking against their false teachings, and he was setting the people free from the false teachings of these men of God who was supposed to represent God but was misrepresenting God. So, again, Jesus' crime was being himself, the Lord of righteousness. Amen. That's who he was. He was Jehovah's Tiskanu. Amen. Jesus' righteousness is very critical to him as being a priest-king. In order to form the duty of giving the sacrifice of his life, he said, "No man takes my life. For I have the power to lay it down and the power to pick it up." So although they were the one that crucified him, but what he stated is he had the power to stop it. But he was a willing sacrifice. And so when we read scriptures like Romans 12 and 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you will present your bodies a living sacrifice." Here, Jesus will present himself as a sacrifice to be killed for mankind, that he may be the first to experience the resurrection of life, the rebirth, so that we will have hope in him. There is life after death, and he is that life, and he has the power to do it. So he was our great representation. Amen. Amen. Just a few more minutes here, and then I'm going to open up the mics for those that may have any questions concerning the text on this day. So in order to perform the duty of giving the sacrifice of his life for the whole world once and for all, Jesus had to be spotless and blameless. So even though he had the kangaroo court, the Mark trial, none of the witnesses agreed. He did no wrong. And even Pilate himself said, I find no fault in him. Amen. He was announced. He was an innocent man who was about to die on the cross. It seemed unfair, but this is the road that he had to take as our messianic priest and king, or priest king. So this is the thing that he had to endure. Now, so the phrase that Pilate used as they brought Jesus before the people was, "Hear the man." And so he was presenting him, "Hear the man." He was presenting him as a righteous man, which when the scripture says the Lord of righteousness, Pilate had no condemnation to add to, "Here's the man." Not, "Here's the man of murder, here's the man of lie." He had none of that to add to it. So he presented him, "Here's the man." Okay? And so, and it was his life that was going to build the temple. And so, as we, the body of Christ today, are building the temple of God, our local churches, we're to build it in righteousness. Whatever our affirmations are, they are still to be under righteousness as we go after the things of God. So in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, God is identified as the Lord our righteousness. This is not the first time that God is called by this compound name. During his call, Moses asked God, "What is your name?" And we see that in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13-15. God responded by providing him with the divine name. The four Hebrew letters that is used is YHWH, which is where we get Jehovah from, or Yahweh. This is pronounced without the vowels. Later on in translations, vowels was added so that we can pronounce the name. Okay, and we get Yahweh or Yahweh. Okay, and so with the vowels that came YAHEH. Okay, so that it can be pronounced. Okay, and therefore identify God as the one who was and who is and will always be. The name YHWH applies God unchangeability, his internal, and he's self-sufficient. Okay. So the divine name is translated again. That name YHWH is translated by King James. The version of the Bible, it's translated Jehovah, okay? And so to get that sound, it was translated as Jehovah. All right. The sacred name of God will be recognized in modern translation as the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Y'all, whenever I say that, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, I'm speaking of none other than YHWH, amen, the self-sufficient one, amen, as opposed to the lowercase just plain Lord. Amen. And it's announcing. So, truth be told, no one is sure how it's originally pronounced because we don't speak ancient Hebrew. So we can't be 100% certain how they pronounce YHWH then, but we know how it's pronounced now. So strictly the Jews will not pronounce this name for fear that they might mispronounce it and thereby blaspheme the name and lose eternal life. So that's one of the reasons why some won't even try to pronounce it of that faith or nationality, because the fear of mispronouncing it. So most Old Testament scholars believe that it would have been pronounced Yahweh. That's what some believe. Amen. Nevertheless, in translation, we see the word Lord or God. These are way that we pronounce things now in language today. And there's so much more to this, but I want to give you time to ask questions. Let me offer up this quick prayer before I open the mics. Our Lord, help us to find joy in the midst of our own suffering. Remind us of the sacrifice of your own Son when he became discouraged. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. The reason why we want to remember, sometimes we may feel discouraged, but some way, somehow, we must develop that yes, Lord, mentality. In other words, we must say, not as I will, Lord, but your will be done. And in the midst of whatever we're going through, whatever trials we may be experiencing, we want to make sure that we are connecting to God the way he wants us to be connected to him. Amen. I'm opening up the mics now. God bless everyone. I see a few of y'all here today. God bless you. Hopefully you was able to follow along with the lesson plan on today. Are there any questions, any comments, any corrections? Amen. Because I do make mistakes. Amen. I'm human. Hello.
Pastor Ronnie.
Yes, ma'am. You're online.
Well, hello there. How are you? Finally.
I'm doing well.
I'm doing wonderful. Well. Wonderful. Thank you for that. I really enjoyed that, you know. Yeah, and you come up to the trials, you know, and one thing for sure and two things, we know you're talking about Pilate, you know, and that was amazing because that's what we're in on our 5 a.m. hour, and we're doing the trial, you know. So
Amen.
So Friday we're going to decide whether he's guilty or innocent. But you know,
oh, wow.
just you bringing forth that, amen, has really enlightened me and gave me more information, and I'm grateful for that. I've been here from the beginning, and I heard the music that you played as well too. You know, that was
amen.
Phenomenal. That was phenomenal.
Amen.
But definitely, if I can get with you sometime tomorrow or tonight or something, just to give you a heads up to what I may have coming up on this coming Friday if you're not busy. But I'm going to talk with you
okay.
about that.
Okay, here. Well, get with me on tomorrow because I know I'm going to be running right after the show to ensure that. Because the weather's been raining here, and I don't want to overly speed going to work.
Right. And I don't want to get in the ticket.
I ain't worried about getting no ticket. I don't want no incidents, no accidents.
That's right. I know what you mean.
Amen. Look, the ticket we can live through, but we thank God he buying the tickets too.
I know that's right. You better say.
But I don't want to put myself in a more of a tight than need be.
Right.
And it's just good that we're on time. Next Monday we'll be having our popcorn service. Amen. Amen. I'm be talking about that third day.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
So that third day. Amen. I could have gave it the day, but now that third day coming. Amen. So we wanna just thank God. It's so much happened the week of the crucifixion.
Yes,
Sometimes we rush through. And
yes,
it was my point to try to ensure that we realize everything that happened for a reason. It happened as fulfillment of prophecies concerning Christ. And when you deal with statistics, the probability of someone being Christ, you know, just seven prophecies before his birth would have been a astronomical number, like one in 300 trillion, you know, could have fulfilled that. But because there were well more than eight prophecies concerning him, and he fulfilled all of them, it made the prediction number so big, so amount that there's not words for the compound amount, but it affirms that he is who he is. So if you just take the evidence of what he did, the testimonies of those that said they experienced him this and this, with the prophecy said that the Messiah had to be so and so and so and so, then you without a doubt know that Jesus fulfilled all that. So when you put your trust in him, your trust is not in him as blind trust. No, your trust is in him. And if you went to the gas station, put the gas in your car, you know it's going to run. You know you got enough gas to go around the block. You ain't thinking about it. You know you just
showed
up.
That's right.
You know you got enough to make it.
That's right. But you know what?
So,
my daughter just said, she said even the bad thing that happened, but the bad things is the thing that keep us on our P's and Q's and let us know if it wasn't for the bad, then we wouldn't appreciate the good in our life.
Amen.
You know? Yeah.
Amen.
So,
you know, the only way that I know that my God is a conqueror is that I have something to overcome.
Yes.
And
that's
gave
it.
Me strength to do it. See, if there's no contest, then there's no winner. I'm going to start right there because that's the preacher in me. We teaching that.
Yeah.
If there's no contest, there's no winner. So unless there's a trial, unless there can be no, they say experience is the best teacher. What they meant saying is you know because of what you went through.
Mm-hmm.
So I know God is a healer because I've been sick.
That's right.
Healed me.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
I know he's a deliverer because I was bound and he delivered me.
Yeah.
I was drowning and he rescued me.
Yes, sir.
I died and he revived me. I fainted and he strengthened me. He restored me. So I know these things of him, and that's where we get the names of God from when we look through Scripture, the different names. It's because as they went through different experiences, they will make an altar, and there they will establish the name Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Rafi, and so on and so forth. And so that's how we know these things, because if they begin to experience the wonder of God, they begin to understand God is, as he told Moses, I am that I am.
Yes, sir. Grateful. Thank you, Pastor Bonnie. I enjoy your teaching. It's so phenomenal. And it gives you such an eye-opening, you know. And I'm on a learning journey. So, you know.
Me too.
Yes, sir. So we learn from each other. So I'm grateful. I am really grateful.
Yeah, me too. I done told him, I said, I'm a student of God's word.
Yes, sir.
And I'm praying to remain a student of God's word, because I personally want to be always in the learning.
Yes.
I don't want to ever be to the part where I think that I got it all together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And no matter how much stuff I may have together, I want to be in the realization that there's still much more.
Yes.
Because
yes, sir.
My brain in this lifetime cannot fathom all that God is. It can't do it. You know, we may try to some degree. I was explaining eternity. The word eternity is so great. It's after 10,000 times 10,000 millennium have gone past. The eternity is still beginning. Yes, ma'am.
Pastor Bonnie, before my daughter leaves, her name is Paris, and she drives 18-wheelers, so she just stopped by to drop her mom some up. But I want you to say hello to her, and then just
and you say her name is Paris?
Paris, P-A-R-R-I-Z.
Oh, Paris.
Hello.
All right, Paris,
yes, sir.
God bless you, woman of faith, amen. I continue to pray your health and strength,
amen,
and increase in your life in the name of the Lord.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yes. Well, I know you love your mama, amen, amen, and... You can't help but to love someone that loves you back, especially someone that loves you first. Amen. I want you to think on the next 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to have a mindset of something new in God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why. It can be a journey. It can be an experience. All these things may have the same meaning to you, how you put it. But I have a desire. God, show me something I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where this is coming from, where this stems from, but it's going to be the next level in your faith. So that because there are some things that God wants to expose to you, because this generation is saying, is church still relevant? Does it take all that to honor God? And God needs people that understand that it takes that and more. So in this season of your life, regardless to all that you may have seen from afar, I dare you to look for God to show you something closer up.
Okay. Okay. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I take that.
Amen. Amen. Over the next 30 days, we'll be here for you to come back and share the testimony with us. Amen.
Okay. Most definitely.
We'll be here. Amen. We'll be here. And if I'm not here, share with them that is here. That means I'm going to heaven. But we're going to be here. We're going to be here. Amen. And we look forward to the testimony of God just the testimony of God just doing a new thing.
Okay, new thing. April the 25th. I got you.
Amen. Over the next 30 days, I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do. All I know is he's able to do, you know, and he will do. But the question is, will you let him to do?
Of course, I will.
Amen.
So
look forward. Now, it ain't got to take 30 days. I should stay at 30 days.
Right. Up until.
Yeah, I just said 30 days. It could be 30 hours from now, all I know.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Amen. But be encouraged in the Lord. Be encouraged. Be blessed.
I'm encouraged. Thank you. Same to you.
Amen.
Have a good night.
Amen.
Here's my mother.
Amen. Divine healing surrounding her. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Divine healing. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Thank you for your divine healing, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Amen.
But do anybody have any questions about the Messianic priest? The journey of Christ, as he marched to his crucifixion, anything about this week of Palm Sunday or this week of the Passover, any questions surrounding that or any statement? How do you feel about the resurrection coming up? In our celebration of it. Amen. Any questions or statements?
The Lockless, you all are on? Or y'all on mute?
No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, we're here.
Okay.
Amen. Okay. Remember, these are Bible study. We're just in the Word together. If you have comments, questions, there's no right or wrong with questions. You know, you question, she questions. Just before we started, my sister asked me a question, because she had a question about about the name, where we get Jehovah from.
Our provider. That's what he is.
You know, she wanted to know where did the word come from? So before I even got started tonight, I was already answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went to the Bible. You know, I went to Genesis. I said, well, I'll show you where it came from. I mean, you know, we first. It is introduced to us in Genesis chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
So chapter 3. We don't see, when we're looking in the Bible, Genesis, if you're looking at the Bible, and let's go to the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning God. And that word there, in its original form, it says, in the beginning Elohim. What's unique about that is God steps on the scene, and Moses his first expression to us of who God was, and this is how we know the Trinity is real, because he don't tell us Jehovah.
No, he don't.
The self-sufficient one.
Okay.
He said, in the beginning, Elohim. The word Elohim is E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. That's a plurality word, because El will be a singular word, E-L.
Right.
But Elohim gives us his plural form.
That's right.
It is divine ones. Amen.
That's right.
But he is the same one that said, "Hear, O Israel." He the same one that teaches us that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one." So we know that he had an understanding that there was one God and one God only.
One God only.
So,
that's it.
But he introduced God as Elohim.
Yeah.
He don't tell us Jehovah. So. And all through chapter 1, all you see is Elohim. And so when he says, and let us make God in our own image.
Image, yes, sir.
Okay, yes. And after our likeness. So we see that all in Genesis chapter 1. Then if you're bold enough, you want to go on to the next chapter, you go on to chapter 2, and chapter 2, it starts off when we see God in the second verse, and we see again Elohim. So we don't see that. And you go all the way through. I'm gonna see if you go all the way through when the last mention of the word God is in verse number 22. Again, it's still Elohim. So from chapter 1 and all through chapter 2, all we see is Elohim. But then when you get to chapter 3, you see we see the first time he say God, this time he says the Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
So now we see Jehovah, okay? Which where we get Jehovah. We see Jehovah, but that Jehovah is Lord. Then we see the word God, which is Elohim, okay? So now he's introduced to us the Lord God. So he gives us a description of the Trinity. So he gives us that, if you read the story, it said, now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, hath God. Now he changes to the condition of God. See, Adam and Eve understood God as Lord God. They understood him as provider, waymaker, all of that, everything inclusive.
That's right.
But now he questions the woman on not the Lord God. See, that's why when I say make Jesus your Lord and Savior, see, people want him to be Savior, but they don't want him to be Lord.
That's right.
This
okay.
is the reason why, because right here in verse number 1, and I got to go, Lord have mercy, I shouldn't have started talking. He says right here, And God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. What happened to the Lord God? So the Creator says, not my master, not the one I'm following, not the one that have authority on me. See, it's so important that word Lord means who you following. See, that's why Sarah, y'all ain't gonna like this woman. That's why Sarah called her husband Lord. Read the book.
She was following him.
So has God said that you can't eat it? So he changed the condition. Your ruler. He took the ruler out. He took the authority out. He just said the maker. He's more than my maker. He's the one that I'm following because he made me. Amen. So we have to be. So it's very important for us to understand when we're reading scriptures that we pay attention to the smaller details because they matter. and because if things like that can get us off and make us miss the mark.
Come on here. That's right.
And I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna keep on talking to y'all, and I'm gonna let Queen end the program. But I'm gonna keep talking in the car while I'm driving. So I'm putting the rest of my clothes on, so I can get on out this door. I have to put this rain gear on because it's raining.
I ain't gonna rush y'all.
I said, I'm going to put all this rain gear right here. So I say, just in case we start going over, I can go and put this stuff on before I go out in the car. Because I'm going to be out here in this weather. And so I have to put the gear on. I don't know about y'all, but I'm way too old to be getting sick.
I know it, Pastor. Yes, indeed.
I'm way too old to be getting sick.
We don't want
to
be sick. We ain't going to even speak that.
Lord. I ain't got time for that.
Yes, sir. That's something, Pastor Bonnie, that we need so much. They want to be educated on everything, but we need to be educated on the Word.
Amen. That's true. But that's just the keeper, you know.
Yes.
You know. Talk amongst yourself for about the next minute or so. I'll be right back.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Queen, now. Amen. But you know, it's so important that we know who we're talking about. You know, who we're praising. It's so important that we know who we're talking about. You know, we know the difference between the little G and the big G. You know, we know, you know, the power, you know, of the source, the power source. That's just like the electrical pole. You know that if you touch that electrical pole, man, you may get shocked, may get knocked down, and don't get back up. But God's word is just that powerful, and God is just that powerful. You know, So it's better to know than not to know, you know.
That's right.
And it's better to do than not to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Amen.
Because when we know better, Elder, we do better. When we know better, we do better. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We do better.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's so profounded in the Word. Miss Friday Joy, it's so profounded in this Word. That he's so able to do all things above all we ask of him. All we got to do is ask him. We ain't got to beg him. All we do is ask.
Amen. That's right.
All we do is ask in this word. and he'll give us understanding.
He said,
because we, yeah, you know, we like it, you know, and we don't have to. We don't have to be like it, you know. All we got to do is ask him. And he said it shall be given.
Yes, ma'am.
It was so important. His word is so important.
I wish I knew a lot more than what I know now anyway, but I still have a chance.
So much. And don't no one person know it all. Don't know what. That's what we're on, this journey to learn it. Learn it. And I should now write it on the table of our hearts.
Because
we find ourselves in places and position, and we don't have his word, it's written on the table of our hearts so we can remind him in his word to what his word says.
Yes, ma'am.
You know. That's why we have to ask him to keep us equipped. Equipped with our sword of the whole armor. Put it on the whole armor of God. Never be uncovered. You heard Pastor Brandon say he putting on his raincoat. Got to put on the whole armor. Got to put it on the whole.
Coverage.
Oh, yeah. You ain't lying about that. But look. And it makes no sense not to gear up when there's there to gear up on. And one thing to be caught in the rain and you forgot the umbrella. But it's a sad thing for you to be in the rain and you got the umbrella, but you won't open it up.
You won't open it up. Ain't that so?
You got a Bible.
Uh-huh.
They're telling you what the Word of God says. It's speaking to you. But
that's right.
Keep on ignoring it.
That's right.
Then,
that's right.
Then, you know, so you left in darkness, not because it's not available. You just
that's
don't
right.
want to open it up.
You don't want to open it up.
And it made no sense to open it up and say, well, I'm just going to get wet anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. You ain't got to get drenched.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Overtaken.
You know, Pastor Bunny. You know, Pastor Bunny. People say, well, I just heard a missionary Lockley just say. She said, "I wish I knew." How you say the missionary Lockley?
What I know now, I wish I knew. I feel like I should know more than what I know. In other words. I wish I knew back then what I know now.
But see that's
all our testimony.
That's all of ours. But you know what? I don't care what we knew back then, Pastor Bunny. If it wasn't to be settled in us back then, it was just a training course that we was going to get us through our training course.
But can I say this? Sometimes
say that.
I gotta speak about me. It ain't that I didn't know.
Yeah.
I just didn't do. I knew it was wrong to have sex before marriage.
Yeah.
I just made the conscious decision that I was gonna have sex because I could. Y'all ain't gonna talk.
Yeah.
To me.
Come on now, Pastor.
I made the conscious decision to override what I knew.
Listen,
that's just one of the things. We ain't going to talk about
that's
all
right.
of us.
That's
you know,
right.
Because it's under the blood now. But that's
under
the first thing I taught my boy. Don't you have kids here and there. Don't do it.
No,
because you know what? I've been the hardest man, and I had to let them know where my heart was. The one thing that hurt me in this world.
Right.
That my kids did not all grow up together up under my roof.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Dealing with that spirit of bitterness, on from the other side,
right?
You know, that thing destroyed my youngest daughter.
That's
see,
right. Mm-hmm.
See, so I, you have to look at it as lessons learned, not failure
yes,
learned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you,
it's lessons. And when you develop that mentality, it'll keep you from staying oppressed.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
It'll keep you from feeling like everything is hopeless. It'll keep you out of that zone.
That's
because
right.
sometimes we can fall into that zone and, unaware, but it's because of how we're perceiving. The Bible talks about as a man thinketh, so is he. A lot of times you can think you're gonna concentrate on them failures so much and so hard till you miss the very lessons that God wanted you to learn, not because of you but because of others that suffering. He allowed you to go through it because he knew you were gonna be able to come out of it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
You know. You were gonna be able to overcome it, and so you learn those things. God bless the
right.
And this accident up here. God, whatever this going on up here,
grateful.
Whatever.
Great pusher.
Amen. So we you know. The girl, her last name, Carr, if it had not been for, what's the song called? She's talking about the trouble.
For the Lord on the side. Tell me, what would I be?
I can't look at my phone right now.
Her name, Carr.
But she's talking about how she made it. But she's talking about the struggle. If it had not been for the struggle, she wouldn't have known.
She wouldn't have known.
That she was able to make it. Another accident, man.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, thank you, Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. Yes, Lord. The blood of Jesus, thank you, God.
I know it takes a normal weather. I can probably make that 20-minute drive a little bit shorter. One thing about this. These folks, when they go to rain, they kind of lose their mind sometimes when they drive.
Yeah, they do, Pastor.
And so,
they don't wait till it's going to rain, and then they come on in and drive like they don't.
Drive like they
had
the racing field.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
A lot of us have questions and statements, but
you know, we have to be encouraged that,
that's
that
right.
You know, as human beings, you know, all of us, we got our faults and what have you, even faults since we've been saved, probably more so since we've been, but.
That's right. That's right.
But we have to accept the fact that God's grace is sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
So long as we are willing to learn from our mistakes, learn from the things, and some things are not necessary. Everything is not something that we necessarily did to do wrong, but some things are what we did because we did because, and we honestly thought they were right.
Right.
But then later on in life, we realized, okay, that was a better way.
Right.
And,
exactly.
And not to throw stones at nobody, but sometimes that's just what it is. There's a we find out there was a better way to do things. I had to learn apologetics. And apologetics is not apologizing for the scriptures. It's learning how to express them in a way to be received and to explain them to others. And it was a time where, I was sharing certain things with some people, not so much to get them converted, but just to prove to them I'm right and you're wrong. And I proved it many times, but that was just because I proved that what I was saying was right, that mean I did it right.
That's right.
And so with that being said, we just have to realize that all of us are in that growing pattern. And as long as we're willing to keep growing in God, God gonna keep developing us.
That's
the job of the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
The Holy Spirit, He will by care. And that's why Jesus told me, he said, y'all hold up before y'all leave now. Wait for the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And then when the promise came, the promise began to teach them all things.
Right.
He began to bring back to remembrance to them the very teaching that he was trying to teach them.
Without info.
So, with that being said, Father God, may your grace be upon these, your people. Keep them, bless them, and all that they do and say, Lord God. We love you with the love of Christ. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us how to love one another. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Thank God and amen. I'm going to leave.
Amen.
Welcome to stay on. And Queen will shut this program down when she's ready, when y'all ready. Y'all have a wonderful night. God bless
y'all,
and I will see you later.
I'll reach out and touch you sometime tomorrow. I think he's gone.
Yeah,
he went under that security thing.
Yeah.
Amen. Beautiful.
You have to check in.
On the work, yeah.
Yeah, Queen. Wow.
Queen, I...
You said a lot of things. It was interesting, but I need you
here. Queen, I.
I'm here, yes.
To wake up.
Hello.
I'm here.
Good evening, everybody. How's everyone doing?
Good afternoon. How are you, Adam?
Good evening.
I'm blessed. Ms. Clayton,
yes,
Lockley. And where's my buddy? Where's my co-host?
My Paredes.
Not Pirelli, my co-host, Mr. Lockley.
Who?
My co-host.
Who is that?
Mr. Lockley.
I don't know. I didn't know you.
Oh, my God. I thought you told him, Mr. Lockley.
Oh, what now?
Let's see.
There he is. How you doing?
Pretty high school.
I'm doing fine.
All right. All right.
Okay. Ohio, class of
1979. Mm-hmm. Place of this. Yeah, I was asking. I said, where's my co-host at? There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, sir. Doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm blessed. Thank the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Hey, now, how you doing?
Basic info.
Hey, now, how you doing?
They're talking to you.
I'm here. I'm not my best tonight, but I'm here. Well, if no one else had anything else, we can go ahead and shut it down.
Yes,
I hope
nice
everyone has a great night.
Yes,
be blessed. Thank you,
you
so much.
Too. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
You. Appreciate you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right. Thank you. God bless and love you guys.
Love
well,
you
good night, America.
Love you
good
too.
Night.
Good night. God, I love you all.
Good
night.
Good night. Good night, America.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Sound like we're on the Waltons.
Good night, good night, good night, John Boy. Good night, good night, good night.
Hmm.